Our special guest today is my husband, Wes, on to talk all about his perspective on fatherhood as a dad of 4 young children and who, honestly, has one of the most unique ways of thinking about this season of life. I continue to learn from him about this all of the time. Wes really lays it out for the partners in this episode, sharing his stance on character role changes during the intense season of caring for your wife and family during postpartum, as well as stepping up as a man in general once children are part of the picture. We delve into traditional gender roles from past and present and how things are more different now than ever before. He also talks about how he best advises couples communicate about these types of things before and during this transition into parenthood. I'm obviously biased because I married him, but I think that Wes has a lot of valuable insight here. So let's get going.
Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, 2 naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
Are you pregnant or trying to conceive and looking for reliable, engaging education around how to have a healthy pregnancy and prepare for the future aspects of motherhood to come, like birth, breastfeeding, and postpartum? Look, I've got you. This is exactly the education you'll receive with my 6-week pregnancy call. You get access to my most comprehensive resource of everything that I wish women knew before heading into motherhood. It's a pregnancy health course, birth prep series, breastfeeding 101 course, and postpartum planning class, all in one. And for 6 straight weeks, we meet for an hour each week on Zoom with a small group of like-minded women going through it too, for you all to ask me questions and get clarity from a trusted expert. I can walk through it with you and hold your hand. The 6-week pregnancy call is only offered 4 times a year, so get on the wait list now. Head to milkmedicine.com for more information or click the link in the show notes. Okay, this one has been a long time waiting to come into fruition, but it's difficult for us to get together. On the podcast today is Wes, my husband. We are married. We have 4 kids together. And, you know, you're not necessarily an expert in the field of women's reproductive health the way that we typically have people on the podcast for that, but you are definitely, most certainly, an expert in having 4 children and parenting in general. Plus, I think that one thing that has been really obvious to people who know us well is that you have a really unique perspective and role, I think, in the way that you do fatherhood and how involved you are, your thoughts on it, the way that you conceptualize it, your perceptions on it. You're just really amazing in a lot of ways. Obviously, that's why I chose you and married you. And I'm super in love with you and I love our life together. And I think in this particular topic, whether it's why you're so comfortable with home birth and how you've always been an advocate and never had any fears around that and how much you love that and to speak to that as well, like what is your experience as a man of birth, but then also the first year of a baby with a baby and having children in general, and then the generational change from, you know, just being a millennial parent now, it's different. And these are the topics that we talk about all the time. And that I know that you've been really a mentor for several of our friends who've come after us in having children, and like you specifically talking the way that you do about expectations. Like this is something you're constantly pep talking me about because I have a hard time with, you know, having higher expectations than maybe should be realistic for the situation and stuff. So I wanted to have you on today. We have a million questions from the listeners who wrote in on Instagram for questions for you specifically, but I think that we're just going to kind of flow and chat and talk all about fatherhood and this modern day and your perception on it, what it's like having different kids. And, you know, we'll just kind of go from there. So thank you for coming on.
Well, hey, thank you for having me. Long-time caller, first-time listener. No, I'm I've been very excited about this opportunity just to kind of get more involved in what you've got going on here. And I think, honestly, I believe that your podcast is just a really, really cool project that you and Dr. Leah have got going on. And it's a pleasure to be on board. So I want to just jump like right in, if that's all right.
Yeah, please take it off.
I've got some notes. I've got some ideas as to kind of what I wanted to say today, because we do talk about this a lot. Like, I think that more than anything that is a differentiating factor in our relationship is the amount of communication that we have. Almost because it's like something we enjoy, you know, like we just to kind of like keep up and you know, prep the day and all the things. And we got really good at that when we were kind of in some really high stress situations early in our relationship with, you know, getting married, like our actual wedding and moving in to a new place and having a baby and all that stuff taking place at the same time. Like, we had to be on point. So our communication really excelled at that time, and we just kind of continued it. But I wanted to speak, like, out of the gate, to just the overall dad setting here. And we kind of talked about this a little while back, but I feel like we've entered an age here where dads are taking on a new role, and it's a major shift. And I don't think it gets any of the hype or the conversation that it deserves, because if you look back at history, and I tend to do that and just look at, like, the way that lives were set up. And you've done a deep dive into this, kind of with various workshops and stuff, just to see how mothers were taking care of babies and how it was more of a tribe-based setting and all these different things. And there's a lot to be said for that. And I'm sure you and Dr. Lee have kind of discussed this. But, like, from the dad side, forever and ever and ever and ever, they weren't, like, playing a huge role in this cycle, in the child cycle. I mean, it's, if you look back, it's just like the dad went out and gathered food, or was a soldier, or was just, like, a non-existent completely, or, you know, almost kind of like the animal kingdom in a sense, where it's like the dad comes in and does his role. And then, you know, if you watch a lot of documentaries, it's like the dad just is AWOL. And then they see the dad, like, 2 years later or whatever, you know, it's,
your role is, like, it's very important still, but it's more of like a protection and food gathering, like you said.
100%. Yeah. And then, like, and I would say, even dating to, let's just say, World War II as a time marker, anytime before that, it was like the wife did this and the husband did that. And it was very cut and dry as to, like, each person's role with the child. And I feel like in the last 30 years, I would say there's been a major shift in that, and for the better, because obviously we've seen statistics of, you know, various families with when the dad isn't present versus when the dad is present and things of that nature. And there's a lot that goes into that. And the studies are showing that that the father's plays a pretty significant role. And the more that they're hands-on, the more that you get to see kind of the impact of that. And we're starting to kind of get the data back on that, and it's pretty profound. And what I'll say to that is that I think the biggest gap as a parent, and this is just for a lot of people that are parents or, you know, first time parents, or even have a couple kids at this point, there's not a lot of resources out there for dads.
They're like, literally nothing. Literally nothing. Yeah. We talk about this all the time. Instagram, to me, in my opinion, I know that this is my niche, this is what I see a lot, but it is, like, so very geared towards moms. There's so many resources. There's so much information there, community, all of it. And there is so very few anything educational or community building, or just, like, not that support group kind of has a negative connotation because it feels like maybe there's a problem, but even just education, like, nothing. Dad, and it's so odd to me too, because as a woman, this is something that, you know, you and I have talked about through our relationship in many different ways. Women are constantly in communication, constantly checking in, constantly doing, you know, like, little pop-ins, and it's just subconscious. It just is the way that it is. And we have a lot of emotional outlet too. So, like, if I'm feeling a particular way, I'll talk about it with my friends, whatever. And it feels like, to me, men, and this is something that is starting to change and become a little bit more aware of in general, is that, like, it's not like you guys don't have emotions. So we need, where are the men's emotions going, you know? And how do we raise little boys who are a bit more emotionally mature and attuned, and they have outlets, they have ways to process this information and talk about it with people. And it may not be a ton of men coming together in that sort of a way, because it's just not really, like, your evolutionary pull in that same communication stance, but it's not like it's unhelpful for you. But then now specifically, that's just, like, men in general. That's, like, the idea. Okay, now there's this, like, one little side slice of that, which is actually, like, a huge portion of our lives, right? Which is parenthood. So it's, like, fathers specifically, there's, like, nothing. There's nothing about, here's what's to come, here's your role, here's how you do it, here's some things that might come up, some expectations you might have, the way that your partner might react in these situations, or the ways that you need to step up and stuff. It's crazy how little there is out there.
I want to hit that part home real hard right here. So for all of the moms, because I'm sure there's more women that listen to this than men. For all of the new moms or soon to be moms, your husbands or your partners need to be told that they need to take more like value in this process. Because no one at any point in their lives has expressed to them, including unless their dad was like a crazy super dad and was like really engaged, even from a mental emotional standpoint, at no point was any father figure in their lives saying, hey, when you have a wife and you have a son or a daughter, you need to be supportive in these ways. And this is the way that you should like look at this particular subject and like do some research and investigation and have more value in this process than, you know, the next guy. Like no one is telling us that. And so like, I feel like even when we had our first kid, there were a couple of things in that process where I was like, I didn't really know what I was supposed to be doing, you know? And then I would personally look at like books and literature and different things on the internet. And it was just so bland and so basic. It was like speaking to like a dad who was like a third grade mental capacity. And it was just like, your wife is going through a hard time right now. She might be a little bit more emotional or whatever. Okay. I was just like, of course, like, what is the real root of what's going on here?
I have to bring this up because this is so funny to me. What you're referring to specifically, if anyone wants to know, is the Birth Partners book, which is one of the like most, it's really like the only resource for birth partners in general. You know, it could go both ways, but I feel like it's the one that's often given to dads in the preparation of their wife to give birth. And I remember so specifically you reading it and just being like slamming it down on the bed one day and be like, this is the dumbest book ever. And no offense, because it does have a lot of basic information, but it is so basic. It's so basic. It's like, come on, there is so much more that needs to be happening there. Literally that quote you just said is a line. It was like, you showed it to me. You were like highlighting it. Your wife may be in pain during labor. You should be there to be supportive. It's like, holy, you guys, come on. It was like the dumbest thing ever. And that was kind of like the Mecca. It was like, oh, read this book. This book is going to teach you everything. And it's like, not helpful in the least. So anyway, I just had to like pop in with that because sure. I think it's so
funny. And I would even say, even as we transition into like the actual baby being around, there's not a parent or a figure in like my life or any other male's life that's telling them, hey, these are the steps. This is what you should expect. This is what you should be aiming to do. And then when I look to find resources for that, they're not there. So what I'm trying to say to all the people listening to this podcast is like, you need to take a little bit more ownership of this part of the process. As a man, as a father, as a husband, as a partner, whatever it is, you need to have a little bit more pride in your effort here. And that's going to mean like going above and beyond and like finding out what you should be doing, how you should be taking care of your wife, how you should be changing who you are to fit this new role that you're going to be stepping into, which I'll get to in a minute. But like, there's a lot of things that need that your attention at this time. And there's not going to be anybody telling you to do that. So I would say to these new moms, let your partner know that that's the case. Like, hey, I'm going to really need you to step up. And no one's going to tell you to do that, but I'm telling you in advance, here's some forewarning. There's areas that I need a different you. And that needs to come out in conversation in advance, ideally. But then once that baby's arrived, like a reminder of sorts to like re-engage from a different perspective than you've been sharing. Because like, if I think of the average 28-year-old male, let's just say, who gets married and has a kid, and then it's like go time and they're having this baby. The 10 years prior to that, where they're an adult from 18 to 28, let's just say, they're living a certain life. Like they're living a certain character role is what I like to call it. Kind of like a character in a movie, probably like Ferris Bueller for that, you know, or Van Wilder, like just having a good time and no real responsibilities and no like, you know, things where you had to like take care of stuff. And your responsibility level is just so low that you're free to do anything you want. Well, now you step into this new world where there's a partner that that you really want to like show some pride in to take care of, but then B, you're inviting a new entity, a new being onto this planet, and you can't be Van Wilder anymore. And I feel like a lot of people lose that. They lose like, you don't have to completely change who you are, but you can't be Ferris Bueller every day. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you need to close the bookends of that movie in your life and transition to the new movie that's unfolding in front of you. Like you're transitioning into a new character, literally. And I use that analogy often when I'm talking to my friends. It's like, there's going to be times, even within your relationship with your partner, where you're going to have to change character roles. And the bookends of that chapter in your life are going to close. And you're not going to be playing, like right now, we have a lot of young kids in our house. I'm acting as if in a certain way because we have young kids. Well, those kids will eventually become teenagers. And I'm going to have to change my character to match the timeline that we're in there. And I feel like that idea is totally lost. And especially with young, new parents, it's like they don't transition from, oh, I'm going out with my friends and I have a bowling league or softball and I've got all these other things that are super fun. And I go out and we go drinking at the bar on Thursdays and play, quiz games and so forth. Like all that stuff can still be around. Like you can still partake in some of that stuff, but a lot of that is going to have to transition to a new style of life for you.
Okay. And this is like, it's, I want to break this down even more just to get to the actual literal point of it, because I feel like sometimes we can just say, oh, you're stepping into like a new role. No, but like literally what you mean is you're going to be doing some self-reflective transformation internally of a deep knowing that for this season of your life, and it doesn't have to be forever. And like you said, you don't have to completely become a new person. That would be inauthentic. You want to be authentically you, but you're leveling yourself up into being a more mature adult, to tackling on now new responsibilities, and to have the biggest and most amazing opportunity of modeling personhood and humanity and love and all these different things to now these little children that you have. And so you really have to grow up quickly and embody that, whoever it is that you want to be for them, what they want, you want them to grow up seeing as what it means to be a good functioning adult in the world, and how you're going to show love to your partner in front of them so that they know what their self-worth is and what it means to have good love and a partnership, and how two partners do take care of children, and what does a household work and split look like, and all that different stuff. And, you know, obviously a lot of this is gender roles, like you were speaking to in the beginning, that this was really, really split. I mean, now it's 2024. We talk about gender roles all the time in lots of different various ways. And just in terms of the very like classic women cook, clean, take care of the kids, men go to work, that's it, blah, blah, blah. Like that is very, very infrequently the way that it is nowadays. Sometimes, yes. And sometimes that's how people feel the happiest. They feel happiest being like homemaking, stay-at-home moms. And I can totally vibe and get that. Like I truly, and I know that a lot of people feel really offended by that idea. And I feel like I want to invite those people into some conversations, because it can feel so good actually to have a role like that. And then you're having a partner who's providing the financial side of things. But a lot more people are in this blended where both parents are working. Both parents then need to share the childcare and the home, you know, responsibilities or whatever. And so for a man who is like the Van Wilder, Ferris Bueller, like you were mentioning, to then, okay, you've got a baby on the way. What are we going to, how are we going to shift and change this? Like, of course, it can take some time for that to grow into it, but you really do just like need to understand that I feel like as little girls, we learn that when you become a mother, everything changes. Like I, in my experience, have been told that my whole life. Everything's going to change when you become a mother. Everything changes when you become a mom. So to at least some extent, I have had that in my programming and in my socialization to know that that's what's coming. I've also had lots of experience with children because I was babysitting, and that's like a cultural thing that like sometimes little girls do, and then they grow up and then they become nannies. Very infrequently are boys becoming nannies. Nobody would really hire a boy nanny for reasons, you know? And so you guys have like no experience with this, almost none. And then all of a sudden now there's your own baby in your arms, you know, and people will make fun of men the way that like a man holds a newborn because they have like no idea what they're doing. And it's like, it's kind of sad because it's like, don't make fun of him. Like this isn't his, what did you want him to go do? Take like a 16-year-old babysitting class? Like that would be so freaking weird.
Well, I think to the larger point there, it's exactly the points that we hit on early on in this conversation. It's, we have literally transitioned as a partner from not engaged at all to now it's 50-50, but it's happening in like a generation and a half. And some people are keeping up and other people are still playing in their old character role and they never really get there. And there's a quote that I wanted to drop real quick just because I love it. And the quote says, there's a moment when every boy realizes that no one's coming to save them. And that's when they become a man. And some boys never get there and they stay children forever. And that just speaks
to,
but I mean, I know I've seen people in society in public that are, you know, man child is kind of the term online where people's like, well, my husband just does whatever he wants, or he just doesn't even listen to us and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, there are those folks that are out there that are still, they never transitioned to adult parent. And they're still kind of just a kid. They're a man. They're like a kid.
Peter Pan.
Yeah. And so it's just kind of like, I think that guys specifically need to take pride in the fact that you are getting to change your personhood into a new, better person. Like Ferris Bueller is a great time until you need to transition and you can't be Peter Pan anymore. You know, like you need to step up to be that better. That means probably for a lot of guys, like maybe drinking a little less or helping out around the house more or doing all these other things that are involved with being like a constructible adult contributor. And I feel like that a lot of times that stuff is lost because it was never modeled. It was never shown that you need to take this step. And some people do it organically and it is what it is. That's great. But there's a lot of guys out there that I've seen that need to be told, hey, this is the time for you to take that shift.
Okay. And but do you think that it's the I do feel like, though, that if it's coming from the woman to tell the guy that it's going to seem like nagging.
No. I think if you do it the right way, it won't sound like nagging. It'll sound like, hey, I would love for you to be the next person in your phase of life. It can't come from anybody else. It's not like somebody's mom. Maybe some guy's dad might say, hey, you should really step your game up, blah, blah, blah. You need to support your wife or whatever. And that those conversations may be happening from time to time. But I think that if there's an opportunity for the partner to say to the husband, hey, we're both entering a phase that neither one of us have been to or have taken part in before. I would really love for you to be like that next person in your life. And no one's going to, and I would even use the words like, no one's going to come and tell you this. That's why I'm coming, because I know that things are going to shift for both of us, because I've done a little bit more research. And the mom in many cases is doing all of the research, the prep for the pregnancy, the actual pregnancy itself, the birth plan, all of that stuff, postpartum, everything that's going on with that baby. The mom's like having to take some time to learn as to what that's going to be. The dad isn't. Yeah. So what I'm saying is dad can take a little bit of time to evaluate his stance right now and how to better perfect who he can be for his family, you know, because you're investing your time. Let me invest a little bit of my time to becoming a more well-rounded father for this new baby.
Oh, and it's like, I mean, it's such a brilliant idea. It just sucks because there isn't really that much, like you said, what would the resource even be that he was doing to invest in his time? It's more like having conversations with people like you. You need to make the resources. Seriously, because I think you have such a good, I mean, not only do you have the experience in it, you know, but you have a really interesting perspective on this. Like, this is something that you say to me still continually. We have four kids, okay? We've been parents for almost 9 years. And I mean, I've been, you know, at least pregnant or breastfeeding for 9 years now at this point. And the other day you took the monitor in the night because I had had several really bad nights of sleep. And in the morning, I remember saying like, thanks for taking the monitor and like managing Sunny so that I could sleep a little bit more. And you like turned to me and you were like, oh yeah, what do you mean? Like just taking care of my own kid. And to me, I had this feeling still, it's like so deeply ingrained. I had this kind of feeling in me, not from you at all. This is just like from me in society, I guess, socialization, feeling kind of like guilty that was something that you were taking on more that night. And you do this often too, but I felt like I needed to like, thank you. Like you were doing me a favor. Like you were doing something that you shouldn't be. And it was kind of putting you out or whatever. And you were just, it was your attitude about it was so like, you kind of like furrowed your brow. And you're like, what do you mean? Just like taking care of my own kid. But people don't have that perspective. That's you don't perfect, have that. So why do you have that? Where did you get
that's this? That's a perfect example of that transition. You know, like, you know, I like to give people specific examples. That's a great example because in my mind, that's my child. And again, as I just outlined 2 minutes ago, like the mom is expected in a way to take care of all these things baby related. And then when the dad's step in and take take care of whatever it might be. It's almost like the dad should be thanked, you know? And I'm like, I think we need to get past that. You know, like it should be, the dad should be thinking, this is my offspring. This is my baby too. And if I can do whatever I can to step in and assume some of these additional responsibilities and time enhancements, all these things that I try and create windows of time for you to be back to who you are, you know? And I feel like I go out of my way to do that in our relationship, because it's like, you still need some time to like be alone and like have a couple minutes to yourself and have a cup of coffee or go for a walk. Not that you're not doing those things anyway, but I've almost baked them into our regular cycle and our regular routine, so that, you know, I'll take all the kids grocery shopping, or I'll take all the kids to the park, or I'll take all, you know, like everything. And just so that you can have like a half of a day to like get your thoughts back down to neutral, you know? And there's the hormonal effect after pregnancy and just all the things that are involved with taking on a new entity, a new baby. There's so much that the male just doesn't understand, and it's not supposed to. Like I always say, you know, the first year of a baby's life, mom's running the show. Like mom's the coach. She's the best player on the team. She's like, she's doing everything. So if the dad can step in and just lighten the load in certain areas, and you use a term with the kids often, which is kind of what I've incorporated. It's like notice and do. If I notice that the laundry is this half done and it's still sitting in the washer and I can move it to the dryer, do it. Just do it real quick. Just move it along. If the dishwasher is half full or stuff needs to be cleaned, whatever it is, do it. Just do it. Don't even, and don't look for praise. Like as the partner, as the guy here, you don't need the praise, because your wife's already, your partner's already doing all this other work. If anything, just praise her for the work that she's doing in that space, and don't expect her to be like kissing your feet because you're mopping the floor. It's like, yeah, mop the floor, dude. Like you've got
do it, right.
Time and to take care of these things. And I think this goes into, you know, a lot of people work, right? And then, so what happens is the dad comes home from work, whether the mom works or not. In the old kind of paradigm, the dad would come home from work and kick his feet up, have a beer and just chill out and like relax and watch TV or whatever that is to them. And, you know, they almost look for the home to be the place where they get praised for all the hard work that they did and all this stuff. And it's like, no, I think that people are looking at this incorrectly. I think that when you go home as a father, this is your place. This is like a place for you to like create. This isn't a place for you to go get pampered and praised and thanked so much because of all the things you do. It's a place for you to go and be an artist of sorts. Like you have the ability to like create that mural and create the family that you like, that you love, and raise the children the way that you want them to be. And like, this is your chance to like mold them from clay, and like your wife, your kids, everybody. And oftentimes, and I think there needs to be a transition from like kick your feet up to creator. And that those are big gaps. Again, that goes into that character change that I talked about earlier. It's like you need to kind of like shift your mentality from like, oh, I should be, you know, I work so hard, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, like, great, you work hard because that's part of our structure in this society. But beyond that, the structure within your house, within your family, is a different role than that other role you played all day.
And it's so much more important. If we had to choose which one or the other was so much more important at the end of the day. You know, this is something, there's so much to say here about all this different stuff, because it can be really tiring. You know, people work let's just say they like an 8 to 10 hour day, they come home and they're like, oh my gosh, now I need to be like super present for my family. But if we can kind of shift our perceptions and, you know, rest in other ways, so that it's not like you're burning the candle at both ends. Like you can't be completely giving from an empty cup. Although I do feel like that's something that you do often, and I don't really know how you do it. So I would like to touch on that at some point. But I think that it can just be a perception shift that like right now in this season, and it all comes back down to expectations, which is something that you are constantly pep talking me about. And I don't really know why your expectations are so like realistic in the way that they are. But if we can wrap our minds around, for this particular season of life, I have little kids at home. So like when I come home, I'm going to try to be as present as I can with them for the like 1 or 2 hours before they go to bed, like most in most households, you know, and I'm going to like be there for my partner, and we're going to communicate about what's like happening, what's needing to happen. I think something that really breaks down relationships in this parenting role is when there's like tit for tat. People are wanting exact equality in everything. And it just isn't like that. There will be a period of time, especially in that first year when you have a new baby, where dad ideally is doing the bulk of everything. And this is something that you take on so gracefully. The bulk of everything in terms of like cooking, cleaning, dishes, all of the house things and other children. Yes, while they're working, it's hard. There's a transition here, you know, but like initially after birth, we cannot expect women to be doing that. It just is ridiculous. It's not going to happen. She is recovering. Her body is recovering from birth. She's trying to get good hormone loops from breastfeeding happening. She's taking care of that baby day in and day out all night long. I know you and I are unique in this way, but like with our first child, you did help me a lot in the middle of the night. Like we were doing it together. Help me. See, even in my verbiage, I'm still taking it on like it's my thing and not yours and like you're helping me. It's like, no, but you would help with Gage more often. He also like, you know, he had that tube that he needed to be feeding with and stuff. But then the next three kids, it's like, I know that if you can get good sleep and also if any of the other three kids wake up, you're kind of dealing with them. If you can get good sleep so that you can be like a superpower charged person throughout the day and like handle all the other stuff, I'll take care of the baby at night. Like there's not that much you can actually even do. Like their baby in the first year, there's not a lot that dads can do with the actual baby. Baby needs to be like nursing on mom. Yes, the dad can hold the baby. The dad can do the diaper change. Okay, the diaper change takes like 20 seconds. To me, I've never really found that to be that helpful. I know that's like something that we use as an example all the time. Well, how much does like your husband change the diapers? It's like, can you go cook the dinner? Because I would rather you do that than change the diaper. You know what I mean? But I just think that people have this misperception of what this is going to look like and how we can in our minds for, again, it's not forever, but this is not necessarily time to have a ton of relaxation in our lives because you're in this really, really intense and also beautiful kind of chaotic space. It's very artistic. Like you mentioned, there is so much creation because you're modeling these people and they are going to be in your family. They're like your best friends for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? And to have fun with it, to keep it kind of lighthearted and optimistic and fun. Not to say that we don't have hard times with it. We do. But we manage that, you and I guess, with lots and lots of conversations about like, where does somebody need more support, which is mostly just me kind of like needing a pep talk from you. I feel like you don't really ask for all that much. But
let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
One of the main things that I'm doing to support myself this postpartum is really focus on my postpartum nutrition, because although we know that we can't control sleep when we have a new little baby anymore, the one main pillar of health that we can control is what we put in our mouths and what we feed ourselves. So that includes nutritional supplements like the supplements from Needed, my very favorite prenatal on the market, and it is a postnatal as well. So that means it's a supplement that you take while you're postpartum and throughout your entire breastfeeding journey. So I recommend to my clients, patients, and friends to take the Needed prenatal multivitamin for at least the first 9 months postpartum or the entire time that you're breastfeeding to help support you nutritionally, give you all of the vitamins and minerals that you need, and keep you really feeling healthy and good during this entire intense time of your first year of motherhood. So go ahead and visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off of your first order. So again, that's thisisneeded.com using code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. This is a big game-changing move for you, as well as focusing on your postpartum nutrition so that you can feel really good, supported, present in your motherhood, and then just enjoy your new baby.
Okay, now back to the show.
I wanted to ask you why you think your just inherent natural, or is it something you've had to learn, way that you think about expectations for this time period are so good and realistic. And like for a quick example before you answer is Sloan, our three-year-old, will do something and you'll be, and I will get like all worked up because I'm like, she knows better and like da 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 da. And you'll be like, Moses, because you call me Moses. That's a like whole other story, but I can't authentically say that you call me Morgan because you don't. You never call me Morgan. You call me Moses. So you'll be like, Moses, she's three. Like, what did you expect? She's three. And I'm just like it like halts me in my tracks and makes me really think about what is a three-year-old. And this is completely actually so normal. But why are you like this? I know people
I'm going to circle back to something you said just a moment ago about chapters. And I use this analogy often with all people in my work setting, at home, all the time. It's like you have chapters in your life. And we kind of touched on this already about, you know, that early chapter, that Ferris, you know, your kid chapter, then that teen to 20-year-old Ferris Bueller chapter, and then this new adult chapter. Like there's chapters and there's windows all the time in life, constantly. And they open and close all the time. I've given a couple, officiated a couple weddings, and one of the, my favorite lines that I use at the weddings is, you know, life has room for all things, and there's going to be seasons. There's going to be beautiful, incredible championship, like lovely, lovely seasons, and then there's going to be really, really gritty, tragedy-based challenges that you're going to have to take on. And sometimes those are all happening at the same time. Sometimes there's windows where it's really gritty for a while, and then you kind of get out of that cycle. Sometimes, you know, and but I would say your best chapters, your best timelines, your best windows are when they, all of that is infused at the same time. Because there's, just like life, it's going to be up and down. And if you're aware and looking at it when it's transpiring, it's just like, yeah, this is part of it. This is part of this season that I'm going through. And, or this timeline, what, like, you know, you would talk about how do you manage the realities of this timelines. It's just like, when you got a lot of kids, right? Let's just say in our situation, or you have a new baby or whatever, that's its own chapter. That's its own chapter. That 9 months when that baby comes out, or a year and a half or whatever it is for you, that's a window of time. And your back and forth with your partner isn't going to be like that for the rest of your relationship. It's going to be like that during that window, during that chapter where things are a little bit tight, hormones are a little bit all over the place during that time. But like, if I, as the teammate in this, understand that you're postpartum, that your body's not cooperating the way that you're used to having it feel, and your emotions are kind of bouncing all over the place. If I know that and I can understand that, then I understand, like, when you get a little hasty sometimes, it's not a direct at me. It's a direct at, like, I have all these things going on, and I'm also not sleeping, but maybe 4 hours a night. And like, I'm also, so it's like, to me, like, what do I expect from my partner? What do I expect from you besides, like, you just trying to kind of get by and make it work? And I think, like I said earlier, a lot of times guys come home and they kick their feet up and they're like, I think that, you know, the woman's place is to do this, this, and this, and take care of their man and all that. And I agree with some portions of that, but in certain windows of time, you need to be the person who steps up and takes care of your partner, you know, as the husband. Like, you need to take care of your wife during this window. This is a chapter where you can seize the opportunity to, like, really invest in providing for your wife as a leader, as a guide, as some, because again, when the emotions fly all over the place and there's lack of sleep and a lot of things are out of sorts, you can be that bridge. You can be that tree, you can be that foundation to settle things down and say, hey, we've got this, you're doing great, things are coming together over here, look, let's make some adjustments. Even in our specific, to give specific examples, we've had a really challenging time with Sunday because of her breathing ailments that she had from birth. And after a while, I could tell, like, things were just not functioning. You know, we tried all the regular trials and things that we've tried with our other kids, and things just weren't working great. And I was like, and I've told people this since, I'm like, we had to pivot on things that we've never had to pivot on. Like, we had patterns that we knew, hey, this has always worked with the baby to get him to sleep, or always worked to get the baby to eat properly, or that. We've changed a lot of things with this baby, but we've had to make that pivot. And it's like relaying that back to you in real time to be like, hey, look, things are, you know, I see you. A lot of it's validation. It's like, I see you working and trying and not sleeping and all that stuff. What can I do as your partner, as your husband, to mitigate some of that, take away some of that? Like, just have that conversation, I would say, on a weekly basis that first year, you know, really to kind of like hammer home, like, what's working, what's not, what do you need from me? How can I better support you? How can I better support the baby? What do we need to do? And I think if you're having that discussion on a regular basis, like, as I said, like, on a weekly, your wife is going to be a lot more agreeable. She's going to be a lot easier. It's going to be a lot more fun. Like, instead of just ignoring the problem or the challenge, and it's like ignoring the fact that you haven't slept for crap for like the last 10 days straight, and just like kind of hoping that she doesn't notice that you're not, you know, doing everything you can, you know, like, forget trying to avoid.
Yeah, you need call to get it out. Past
that and just double down on going all in and notice and do. Like, notice and do anything you can. There was days, like, in the last year where I was busier than I've ever been. And I looked up at the end of the day and I was like, I got nothing done today. Like, I got nothing done, but I did everything.
Yeah.
And to me, I was like, okay with that, because I knew that, like, I was investing in my time in areas that weren't based off of results. They were based off of, like, providing. And those are two different things. A lot of people get lost in the results because that's what you're trained at work to, like, produce and, you know, have these results. And then on the back end, you're like, oh, look what I did. And I got this from it. And it's like at home, it's like you might be just doubling down on your effort and you don't get a pat on the back, bro. It's not about that. You're taking care of your family. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, that's a big piece of it.
I love that. No, it can feel like a thankless job in that sort of a way. It's like the just, you know, the day in and a day out of taking care of children. And but there's a couple of things you said that I wanted to touch on really quick. So first of all, you are really good at not taking things personally and having this deeper perspective that, yeah, like if I'm having I postpartum hormones shifts are really tough on my body. And I love being pregnant. I love that kind of maybe just overall increase in hormones. And then when it drops off for me, I kind of feel crazy for like a while. And then add into that, you know, the lack of sleep and stuff. I mean, and this is like one of the huge reasons why I don't want to have a fifth. There's lots of reasons. I feel very, very set with our family. And I think you do too. And that's like such a blessing to feel that way, because I know some people don't feel that and they don't ever get to necessarily get there. And so just have to say that. But for me, that hormone drop can be so rough. And you have always been, this is kind of where we have a really good example of the masculine and feminine energies. Masculine doesn't always have to go with, it doesn't have to do with gender. It doesn't have to be with man. It's just, it's an energetic kind of being. And in the traditional Chinese medicine, they call it yin and yang. So yin is the female and yang is the male or the masculine. So, and then yin is the female. So, feminine. And you are, this is a very good example where you are extremely masculine and being able to like hold that sort of steady grounded rock space, the tree roots for me and for our family. And then I am this like kind of flitting around chaos, you know, the yin, the feminine can be very flowy. There's sort of no structure to it. It can like go back and forth. It's in the moment. It flows. And that's kind of how you need to be as a mother, because from moment to moment, your children have different needs and you can't really have an agenda. You can't have a strict schedule when you're a mom because, or I mean, ideally people do, but it doesn't really work that well because children, you can't, it's hard to crush them into a box. And so, but that can be very exhausting, right? Like it can feel crazy, especially now. Yeah. You add on the sleep deprivation, the hormones. And so you have always been able to be this like, I don't know, just like steady presence, and you don't take it personally, which I think is so important, because I'm not actually even really mad at you. And I'm sure there are families who they are actually mad at their husband or their partner or whatever, because they're feeling unsupported, unseen. And that validation, like you said, you probably did do that about weekly, where you would just sit down on the bed and I would be like crying about something and you'd be like, I see all the things you're doing. And you'd list off, and I didn't even know that you noticed those things until you verbalized it. I didn't know that you noticed how much it was so annoying to me to have to change my clothes and to change Sunny's clothes, you know, 5-6 times a day or whatever, because she was spitting up so much. And then all the appointments I was driving her to and how she was crying in the car to every single one of those appointments, but it was like helping her with her breathing. And just you validating, like as a tip in general, like as a practical tip takeaway from this episode that people can get, that is so big. And it's something that you're going to do with your, end up doing with your children that you're, you know, our little babies right now, anyways, is like validating their experience, validating their emotions so that they don't feel resentful. I feel like validation is like the breath of, like the blowing out breath of a candle of resentment. Like you can just make it like, and it literally like dissipate. I could feel it in my energy aura. Like if I was feeling kind of like angry with you or like misunderstood, I loathe more than anything the feeling of being misunderstood. I think that is, for me, for whatever reason, that just bothers me so much. Because I want to be deeply seen and known. And I know that that's a need for everybody. And I feel like you do that with me so well. But I wouldn't know it unless you told me, right? And so if you never told me, I would have no idea how much you see me. I would have no idea how much you actually get me. And I think that this is something that is, again, it's part of a masculine side of things to not really express that well. Like masculine energy communication is not really one of the masculine things. This is one of the more feminine things. And so this is something that I think in a lot of partnerships, again, this is like all heterosexual really, but this is something that I think men in general don't realize that like women need so badly. Right. We need to know that your thoughts. We want to know, do you realize what's going on here? And like just even telling me that without even doing anything else around the house, whatever, can make it all feel better. And so
I think there's that, again, goes to that transition of, you know, the male transition, and especially as it relates to fatherhood, you know, that we used to have this old paradigm and now it's kind of transitioning to this new world where the dad is a little bit more engaged and there's more structure around his efforts. So, but again, no one is teaching us that. No one is telling us while we're 18 years old, hey, when you get married and you have a family or when you have a baby, and regardless, to tell your partner how you feel about this, or tell them how they're doing a good job when you see them doing a good job, or tell them that you see that they're struggling and that you want to help. No one is telling us that. And more than anything, just at the beginning of this episode, if you can have a simple conversation, maybe go out to dinner sometime and just say, hey, you know, I know that this isn't part of like your growing up education as a man, but as we enter in this new stretch and these new chapters in our lives, the part that of you that I would love to see you enhance is this area, and tell them what it is to you. You know, it doesn't have to be exactly the stuff we're talking about, but it could be anything else to you. It could be, you know, I need you to double down and, you know, financially, I need you to double down in this area, whatever it is, whatever it is. Tell them, I need you to tell me more what you're thinking. Because guys have the thoughts. It's not like we're just walking around with no thoughts in our head, but we just don't, we don't extrapolate that out all the time. Whereas, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of gals and people, you know, use the internet or whatever to like throw out ideas and talk about how they're feeling and stuff. And that's becoming a little bit more normal for a guy. However, we are the first generation where that's becoming a thing. And we haven't been trained to do it. So it's almost like the guys that are doing it right now are the first on the line, you know, and we're coming out of the factory. Like, we're like, yeah, we could start talking about this stuff, but like model 2.0, which is like maybe the generation behind us, are going to be a lot better at it and a lot more instinctive. And it's going to be a little bit more organic. And I'm going to teach my kids and certainly my son these methods and these ideas to like really enhance their family and their relationship with their partner and all these things. Like, so I think the next dads that are aware and awake and are playing this game, they'll, you know, kick out better offspring that'll do that even more so for their wives, you know, 20 years from now. But this conversation right here is like where it's at as far as getting that support and feeling how you feel. And, you know, especially like right out of postpartum, for people is, I think I appreciate birth more so than the next guy. Cause obviously I've been around it and I've seen, you know, your work in this field for many, many years. And we can kind of jump into some of those questions that we talked about, you know, the actual process of being around and the birth and supporting home birth and all these other things. It's like a deal. And if you don't tell your, think of it this way, the last thing I'll say on this character situation is if you look at TV, you look at all the sitcoms that have been around, the dad is the dopey joker figure. He's always a knucklehead. He's Homer Simpson. He's Peter Griffin. He's, you know, even the like real shows, what is it? Modern Family. Like the dad is a doofus. You know, it's like, that's what they portray to us all the time. And if you're not going to take the effort as a dad to take your own self to another level, to be a better father, no one's going to tell you to do that. So this is, I guess, my shout out to you. It's like, if you're hearing this, it's on you and it's going to take you to figure that out. That's your own personal journey. And I would just hope that more and more dads are engaged in getting rid of their television and self-educating. Like, get rid of the TV, get rid of your iPad, stop horsing around on your phone. Spend the time to like double down on your family. Like, we haven't had a TV in 10 years. We haven't had TV like the whole time we've been together.
Yeah.
And I just feel like our communication is light years ahead of a lot of other couples because we don't have that distractionary measure. We don't aren't watching shows. Not that it's terrible to watch a show or whatever, but it's just like, if it's not there as an option, you're going to talk to your partner.
Yeah.
You're going to be talking about what's going on. So let's maybe rapid fire some of those questions.
I'm going to rapid fire some of these things to you because I do want your opinion on them. And I think it'll be interesting. And then just to follow up what you said with that about the communication and your partner, I think that there's this is such something that Dr. Lee and I talk about in other episodes all the time, is the purpose and place of self-development and taking the time for whether it's like therapy or, you know, taking care of your problems, looking self-reflection, looking deeper, doing things that will help elevate you as a person, whether that's like, you know, with your physical practices of breath work or exercising, cold plunging, whatever it is, that the things that are going to challenge you mentally so that you can kind of rise above and have a greater mental resilience in that sort of a way, or you're literally going to therapy or you're going to retreats and you're digging deeper and you're managing your own past traumas. And then knowing that side of things for your partner. Like, I think that's something that we know well in each other and like what sorts of things trigger us and how to, it's a constant evolving process, but there's nothing that's going to bring out your issues more than either the relationship that you have with your partner or the process of parenting your children. So Right. You will be confronted with these hard times deeply internally in you, sometimes subconsciously in you, apart from just the like rigmarole of the day in and day out of like changing the diapers and cleaning up the messes and making the snacks and all that kind of stuff. Like, there is things deep in us as people. We have had experiences, all of us, to some extent or another, and they will be bubbling up to the surface. And your partner is somebody who could be this person who is really helping you walk this path towards your best self if you create it like that. They don't have to be your worst enemy. And I think that I get that that's a lofty goal, and I'm trying to be sensitive because I know this isn't everybody's situation, but I think it can be something that is literally like taking off the glasses that are tinted to some extent. Maybe if they're tinted like in a negative way, you have this sort of, you've put your partner in this box of who they are, and now it's been 10 years and you still have all these resentments and stuff. And it's like, maybe it's time to really do some deep digging and deep work and see them for who they are today and give them that grace, forgiveness, whatever it is, work together. Maybe you're going to couples therapy, something like that.
I want to jump on that right there, because I used to think about this all the time. It's like when you're a kid, you get assigned a personality of sorts, right? And you take on these various characteristics. For some kids, they're the shy kid. For some kids, they're the risk takers. Some kids, they're the loud mouth or whatever it is, right? What happens is, for most people, is that they carry those characteristics into their adulthood, and they never really augment who they are as a person, even though who they are now has changed dramatically. Like, you know, the shy kid, the shy little girl that was in that third grade class, it's like, she's 26 now, and she might not be shy, but she's still acting shy because that's who everybody knows her as. You don't have to be that anymore. Like, you can be you. And when you have that in your relationship and you start out, together, and your partner's doing X, and then you fast forward 10 years, like, you still don't have to view them as that person, because I'm sure they've changed. And there's a reevaluation that needs to occur in that space. And I think that's healthy for a lot of relationships and marriages, is to like, take note of like who that person is now. Like, they may have been a jackass when, you know, year two and three of your marriage, but since year two or three, they've really changed and they're now this new person, and view them for that, not for the jackassery that took place 5 years ago. You know what I mean? And that's true. Like, I see that all the time. Yeah. I see that in a lot of complaints from gals, and they're like, oh, my husband is just kind of a knucklehead, and he said this, and he does this stuff. And I'm like, I know that dude, and he doesn't act like that, at least around me or anytime that I've seen him around you. Maybe he's changed from 5 years ago when that situation occurred, you know? And so, like, I think there's room for that. I also think that we should probably schedule another podcast to go through like the actual logistics of pregnancy,
100%, birth. Yeah.
I don't think we're going to squeeze it all in here. Like, the postpartum care, I think that I could speak a lot to the postpartum that action. But it was nice to like kind of walk through some of these interpersonal, meta emotional components to having a family and raising kids and just being like supporting your partner.
I'm going to save these rapid questions that are about birth and postpartum specifically for a part two here. But I did want to ask you, there's a couple that are just kind of relating to this, which would be like, if you can think of some sort of thing that would be like the best tips for new dads, man to man. I mean, I feel like we've talked about several different things like validating your partner, et cetera. How would you just kind of wrap that up?
I think it's taking notes on yourself and what you're doing to provide like stability. And I even said, you know, like I've got a list here of things that if I was going to tell a new dad, hey, this is what I would keep my eye on. Mm-hmm. You need to educate yourself on parenting, like taxes, the food that's going into your body, into that of your family, your own personal body and your body health, your position in your family and how you need to sway and just really enhance certain areas and other stuff. Oftentimes I use the analogy of, you know, like there's a cartoon of a guy, and you and I have talked about this a lot, where it's like spinning plates, right? A lot of people are like, oh, I'm just spinning plates. And imagine a guy holding like six different plates up, right? And each plate represents like your family, one's your finances, one's your personal health, one's your, you know, the list goes on. And sometimes some of those plates need a little bit more attention and they need to be spun a little bit more with more vigor and more aggressive, like because you're doubling down in that area. Like I remember points in my life where I was like, you know, my family plate is spinning great, but my finance plate's wobbly. So I need to like spend a little bit more time kind of engaging that plate and getting that a little bit more rhythm in that area so that, because the goal is to like have all the plates spinning basically at the same speed. Because what happens is a lot of people spin that work plate real hard. And then what happens at home kind of starts wobbling and, you know, there's not as much attention on the home plate. And it's like, well, or your family plate or your own personal body, like taking care of yourself, because a lot of people let that fall off. It's like all those plates need to be spinning and they don't all have to speed. You don't have to speed spin them. You can just like find a ready pace. That's a big piece of this whole equation, is like knowing where you're at and all of that stuff. Having a like true vision, like a vision for what you want. Like people... they kind of assume goals.
This is something that you
really
and I do a lot.
Talk about it, and they just like, you know, like, well, I'd like, if you asked a new dad, let's say, or even a new mom, like, what are your goals for this baby, or what are your goals for your relationship in the next 10 years? They don't have anything written down. They have like maybe an idea, and maybe they don't even have that. They're, because that's not really part of their makeup, is to think that way. It's like, well, now that you're a parent, there's more than to this life than just you. And to have a goal of like what you want this to look like and how you want it to go and where you want to live and what is that a priority to you and all the different things that go into it and who do you want to spend your time with and all that kind of stuff. Like that needs to be part of it. Last thing I'll say is know your patterns. How do you handle stress? How do you handle things in a high stress environment? How do you handle things? How does your wife handle those things in a, you know, when things get a little challenging? So if you know how you react and who she is and like how things are going to like what to expect, then you can kind of almost get in front of it and adjust the way that you're going to play sit in certain situations, because you know, oh, I know by default, I get a little flustered and get a little upset because I didn't, you know, this XYZ occurred, or I'm super stressed out. It's like, well, if you know that, then just be in front of it. So just know your patterns.
What was the one that you said just before the know your patterns one?
Goals and vision.
Goals and vision. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So that's something that you and I do all the time. And I think that this is another point that is really important, because if you're wanting to live your life in a certain way, whether that's maybe, you know, like for us, it was, we wanted land and how are we going to do that? We were going to move to a different state. We were going to do all these different things and whatever. It takes a very long time for some of these things to come to fruition. But if you don't continually talk about it and make baby steps towards those goals, they're never going to happen. So this is something that you and I feel like we sit down and we have these like life planning. That's kind of what we call them. I'm putting it in quotes, meetings and talks. And we literally like write down, you usually have a piece of paper and I'm usually having my computer open, and we're kind of going through major topics of like, what do we want to be happening this year? What are our sort of goals? What about like in the next coming years? And, you know, for right now, we're kind of talking about, when are we going to have cows on the property and what's that going to look like? What do we need to do to get that to happen? Because we need to be planning now for a lot of these different things that are maybe going to happen next year or in the next 18 months. And then in 3 years, we can have our own meat or whatever. And it's like, it just to show you as an example of how long some of these goals can take to come to fruition. But if you're never like speaking about that, or whether it's, you know, with one of our kids, we need to be really working on accentuating like this path with them. And so how are we going to kind of be doing that and just checking in? Or, you know, I personally, and you and I, both of us have our like physical exercise aspect of our lives is not very strong. I know there's a lot of people that work out all the time. Neither of us do. We really need to be doing it. So we need to be supporting each other in that, like continuing to encourage each other, remind each other like, okay, we need to go do this. Like, how do we do it? We live very active lives, but you know, that's what I'm saying. So I just wanted to say that, because it is back to the communication thing, that is huge, is having these goals so that you're moving forward and you're constantly moving in a direction of like up with each other and the support of that as well. So anyways, okay, I'm going to save. Actually, there was one last question I wanted to ask before we wrap it up, which was if somebody asked, what do you wish you could have done different, would have done differently if you had, you know, something to say maybe about that first time. So this is in reference to being a first time dad and first time parent experiencing that.
Oh, wow. I think the amount of pride that I take to support you postpartum only enhanced the more babies we had. And I felt like I was engaged in helping you and doing all the things with the first one. But I learned from the first one, like the level of physicality that birth takes on a woman. I also saw the hormonal component to that on the back end, just like all the stuff that goes on for a mom, like, which is incredibly incredible and intense. And so I'm like, maybe on this next one, I'm going to really step up my game in all these other areas to really support her experience after the baby comes out. So like, I would, you know, like once something I did often was like, I made all the food. Mm-hmm. I cleaned, you know, I just took care of all the household duties. Yes. And wasn't looking for any kind of like pat on the back for like, oh, thanks for mopping everything today. It's like, you could care if the house is, you know, like you just want to be taken care of.
And I think appreciative.
No, and I'm just saying like there's value and then there's things that like you would really appreciate. And I knew that if I could just really bring all of the value that I could to support you and making your daily experience just super clean and I would just say more enjoyable, it's going to go a long way. So I would just say double down my efforts on that first baby to really tap every angle that I could to like just make the experience like a little bit more enjoyable and engaging for you.
Well, that's really sweet. I really feel like you did so much too. I don't have any hard feelings about that, but I understand what you're saying. You think you could have done better, and that's great. And I will say too that like we had a lot of communication around what it was going to be, me knowing about myself, how much I struggle with postpartum. I had told you for months and months and months, and we were fully on board with it. You were super supportive of this plan that I was planning on literally almost not leaving the bed for like 2 weeks. And I did that. And then it was actually like 3 and almost 4 weeks that I was pretty much in this room completely. And then I very slowly started to transition out because again, she had all these complications and it was just different and it was tough in these different ways. And I just like was so... I know that's hard and I know that everybody can't do that. And you work from home. You also work very efficiently in like 20-minute chunks. And that's really exhausting to do. But you, I don't know. I feel like you are superhuman for sure. And I just like really, really appreciated that you didn't like tap out. You weren't like, well, Moses, you know, it's been 2 weeks. So like, go ahead and come out here. It was kind of like you could see the writing on the wall that it was going to take a little longer with this one and she needed more support. And it's not like I was sitting back here eating bonbons. It's like I was doing stuff. I was really working hard and healing and breastfeeding and it was just tough. And so it's something that the way that I see it is like one of those, I know that you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but a lot of the women will. One of the hormone curve pictures of the way that your menstrual cycle goes and how estrogen and progesterone rise and they fall and FSH and LH and where ovulation is. And I feel like everybody's seen one of those curves. The way that I see postpartum and the first couple of years of the baby and like the way the roles and the shifts change, it's like these really intense spikes and then they drop off back to like kind of maybe more normal. Like, but for a period of time, for like 2 or 3 months, you were doing so much. I mean, for several weeks, it was like all you, literally all you. And then it was like me coming in a little bit. It was like one of those curves that's like, you know, rising really slow throughout the cycle or something. That was me. That was my role, like coming back online, taking on like little chunks of time here and there, doing different stuff. But you were like ramped up. And then, you know, there's a point where then we were kind of like crossing each other. And then you were maybe starting to do more of like, you know, re-engaging in work, thankfully, because that was important and needed to happen. And I was able to come back up. And it's kind of this dance. It's not forever. Everything's temporary. It's these moments, like you're saying, about windows that are opening and closing all the time. And it it can feel really intense, and it also needs to be able to pivot and shift. And sometimes it doesn't work for one person or the other. And there needs to be grace and graciousness and forgiveness and communication. And like, just knowing that you're not pitted against each other. Like, you and your partner need to be, this is the last thing I'll say, and we'll wrap up. But somebody came, and I don't even know who it was. They came to school when I was in medical school, and they gave a talk at lunch. Maybe the guy was talking about like mind, body, stress or relationships. I don't know. But he said a quote that has forever changed the way that I've viewed relationships, and with you specifically, because I feel like it is us, which is that the best relationships are not going to be where the partners are looking in at each other and focused on each other and obsessed with each other necessarily. It's when they're standing side by side, looking out at the vision of their life together, and they're side by side. They're like equal in their partnership, and they're together still, but they are looking out at this kind of what they want in totality of their life, and they are going for these same sort of goals. And as a teammate, it's like us against the problem of the difficulty and intensity of having little kids. It's not you against me. It's not you being an asshole to me and me being a bitch back to you. And yes, of course, we have our moments. Like, we totally have had our moments. We have fights sometimes and whatever, although I don't feel like we fight that often. But we do sometimes. And we come back together. We have really good communication around speaking about it afterwards, after things cool down. Because at the end of the day, we are teammates, we're partners, we're trying to do this together. And it's like, I love you so deeply. And I know that you're not trying to be maliciously against me in moments. And I hope you know that about me too, even though sometimes my emotions kind of like explode and like whatever happens. And it's just, I love that quote. I love this idea that there's going to be these intense moments in time periods. You have to adopt this new role. Maybe you don't like it. You know what? Suck it up, buttercup. This is the way that it goes sometimes. And you're going to get your moment later where things feel a little bit more at ease, or you make time for each other to go, like, you know, every couple of weeks you go and you sit in the sauna with Mike Gordon, Leah's husband, and you have your moments there. Or like, I have my girls' nights. And we always joke about like you scheduling your guys' nights on the same nights that I schedule my girls' nights. And we give each other these moments. And I it's not like we never have that, but it's just all a flow and it's all temporary. So I just had to say that at the end here.
Well, I appreciate you letting me on the podcast. I will note that the last podcast that I was on resulted in the person getting banned off of YouTube. So I hope this one goes a little bit better for you.
Oh my gosh. Please don't do it again.
Thanks for having me on. It's been a dream.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'd love to come back and talk logistics about like the pregnancy process and the cycle of that, all that stuff. Cause I think there's a lot there that I could really lend to other partners and speak to some like specifics.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially about birth, because I think you have a really unique perception on that, having experienced it the way that you have. And so we will do a part two that's more about logistics of the process. This is sort of more the fatherhood episode. So be on the lookout for a part two here. And thank you for coming on. I love you so much.
I love you too.
There is a lot of education out there for pregnancy and birth, and thank goodness for it. But what about postpartum? Many parents feel blindsided by how dynamic and intense the first few weeks with a newborn can be, and I've created a course to change that. Introducing the Immediate Postpartum Series. In this 11-video course, I teach you and your partner about all of the different types of decisions that need to be made right after your baby is born, the ways that your body and your baby's body will be changing rapidly over those first several days and weeks, how to recover from birth, whether it's a vaginal or cesarean delivery, how to establish breastfeeding, it's basically a breastfeeding 101 course, and the nuances of stool changes, diaper tricks, newborn sleep, placenta options, mindset, circumcision, and more, so that you and your partner know what to expect and can feel prepared and confident in what is normal and what is not, and get back to enjoying your new baby. Click the link in the show notes to start prepping now. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.